The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hello, welcome once again to the official Corian FC podcast as we delve into matters Corian Football Club and Irish League football and anything else that comes up between now and an hour's time in general. Once again, once we start, we'd like to thank our sponsors, the Lodge Hotel, who kindly came on board this year. And it's hard to believe. We're just thinking there, Christmas is coming up, the dreaded Christmas word we don't talk about, but we should mention it. And just a little reminder that Christmas party nights at the Lodge Hotel are currently on sale and selling very fast. Tickets, £36 per person. Four course carvery with all the trimmings for Christmas, as you would expect, and then a night on the dance floor with some fantastic music. So if you want to bring your work colleagues, friends, family, dress to impress, enjoy an evening of fantastic food and music in the refurbished Allen Suite, the Lodge Hotel is the way where to go. And they have a range of acts on Saturday, December the 2nd, the 9th, and the 15th as well. So if you're thinking of your Christmas bookings already for work dues, etc., I suggest you probably do give the Lodge Hotel a call. So without further ado, evening to my co-host, Jonathan McNabb. Johnny, how are we? How are we tonight?
Hi, Graham. Still hating football, so sure. Wasn't you there, though?
Do you know what? Football does... Like, we've had this conversation, I think, sometimes up and down in the car and stuff, and my brother-in-law, God bless him, has no interest in football or sport, really, in general. And I often envy him as well, because he just goes through life on an even keel, and he's always very sort of happy at the weekends and stuff. And we've had this conversation, whenever you support football teams, it's dependent on their fortunes, how your mood is at the weekend. So I get where you're coming from, and particularly following the teams that we do.
Yeah, it's not easy, but I suppose it's the highs. You take the highs with the highs and the lows with the lows. And that's football. And obviously, Saturday was sort of a weird day. I think we played pretty well on Saturday, to be honest. But again, just both boxes have absolutely killed us. And we've conceded it again. Probably two or three sloppy goals and haven't taken our chances at the other end. And it's just a bad theme that seems to be recurring of late. But in terms of performance from between the two boxes, I can't really complain. Thought we played pretty well. And yeah, I think, you know, if we were to play Hamilton again, and I'm sure it'd be close. And I think 3-1 probably flattered them. I don't think it was a two-goal swing, really, in the game.
You do say that, but unfortunately, the game is all about results, as we know. It's all very well playing well, but results is the name of the game. But anyway, we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in more length, more detail later on, because we have a very special guest with us on the podcast this evening. And I think, Johnny, by our reckoning, we were working out that he's maybe the longest serving player currently at Corian Football Club. Is that right, Johnny?
Yeah, I would say that's true. I think Adam Mullen would be, I think, obviously Stephen Lowry might have made his debut just before Adam, but obviously Stephen decided they leave us for a while, so Adam hasn't left. So I think in terms of longest player there, I think in one spell, probably him and Lyndon would be the two longest.
Yes, well, you've mentioned these names, so yeah, we'd like to say a big welcome to Adam Mullen, looking very relaxed there via Zoom. Adam, very welcome to the podcast, and we were just saying there, we were working out that you're probably currently the longest serving player at the club. I'm just thinking, I mean, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel old, I guess.
All right, Johnny, all right, Damon, how are you? Thank you for having me on. Hi. It does make me realise my age a wee bit, but still only 27, so still young enough yet. So I am honoured to be the longest serving player at Corian. So
it's crazy, like you said, you're 27, and it seems you've been around for forever. I think you're the third highest appearance member in the current squad behind Stephen Lowry and Lyndon. You made your debut way back in September 2012, and you've been at the club for over 10 years, Adam. So, I mean, you're only 27, so, I mean, you must have started, what, 17 years of age?
Well, it must have been. I think the 2012 game must have been a Northwest Cup game or something would have been. To be honest, don't really know who would have played in that. Them Northwest Cup games, I would just treat them as reserve games. Like, I can remember my Irish League debut, I think it was away to Glenavon. I think the game finished 1-1. Then the home debut was Limfield the following week. So they're the games I really remember as my debuts, like, so I do.
A long time ago. What would it have been like? I mean, you were probably, as I say, 17, away to Glenavon in your first. And then the week after you're playing Linfield. Like, I mean, that's quite a formidable game to go into as like a teenager. I mean, what do you remember of that game? Or do you remember who you were marking in that particular game, Adam?
The Glenavon game, I think it was up against Mark Patton. So yeah, give me a tough old game that day, so he did. It was an experience in one way and another, like, so it was. Don't really remember much. I'm quite laid back, relaxed sort of guy, so I don't really think too much about it, and or name the team, and no, I just got on with it then and haven't really looked back since.
And I suppose that's the thing about when you're young as well, things don't really faze you. You don't think about it. Like, you just go and you do it, and it's just, you think, it's just another game of football. And sometimes if you're a bit older or if you have more time to think about it, then the more you would worry about it. But the fact that you were just 17, it was just like, I know one give the trust in you, and you just went out and played your normal game there.
Yeah, that was it. Like, that's what we all worked for when we were in reserves too, for a chance. So it was just about taking that chance and then trying to stay in the team after that. The Linfield game I was more worried about because they were strong Linfield side then. They were going for the league that year, I think. But again, I think it was 0-0 that day. So made a good account to ourselves that day. And then I think it was up against Michael Carbold. So, it was another tough game. It was a good learning curve as well. Like, so, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoy the big games, so I do. And if that's one way for Oran to find out if you're ready or not, if you're going against a Linfield team that's going for the league. Like.
Well, obviously, you must have done something right because you're now almost 250 appearances for the club. If somebody had said to you that day at Glenavon, you'll go on and you'll play at least 250 games and counting for Corian, what would your reaction have been, Adam?
I probably would have believed them, but I would bite their hand off at the same time. So I do believe in myself that I can play at this level and have done. So, yeah, I would have believed them and then just tried to make it happen as well.
I mean, Johnny, you're a well-known follower of the club and you go to nearly all the games. I mean, do you remember Adam breaking through? Obviously, there was a sort of cohort at that particular time of a group of young players, and Adam would have been among them. But even then, you know, you could probably see Adam had something about him and that he would hold down a regular place in the team even then as a 17-year-old.
Is you really think, I was always thinking about this before I came on, and whenever you think about Adam breaking through, it literally seems so long ago. So, never mind as a fan, I don't know just how it feels as a player, and obviously he came through signs like the same side as Brad and Jamie McGonigal and Lyndon and stuff like that, and it was probably the best time to come through because results probably, there probably was less expectation on Corian at that stage, and yeah, obviously I think Adam done well for obviously the 20s, and he came through obviously as a right back, and that's always weird because Oran always said to us, even when Adam was playing right back, that he would be a centre half, and that's probably now where his probably main position is with Corian. And to be fair to Adam, I think he's played everywhere across the back four and as well. So it's probably just one of the things where centre half's probably his nailed on position now. And I always think a player is versatile is always handy. Warren always likes him too, as well. So playing across the back four is definitely, I'd love to know each individual breakdown and how many games at right back, left back and centre half. So but I think obviously Lurie's came in as a defender and Warren always seen him playing at centre back, and he was fantastic obviously that year with Snowy as well and guys like that. So yeah, no, I think it was number 15. I think Adam Moore. He might tell me if I'm wrong, it's just wee things that you pick up along the way.
We'll ask Adam. Favorite position, Adam. Johnny said you've played right back, left back, center back. I'll ask you, which would you prefer?
Oh, definitely center back. So that's. It's where I played all growing up, and it's more natural position. But I've played everywhere across the back four. Sometimes it kills you. So it can work to your disadvantage. But as long as I'm playing, I'm happy enough. So I am.
Well, that's an important point that you make, because there was times that you were being asked to play at left back, and you'd said, you know, sometimes it's to your own detriment as a player. But you were doing it for the team, and because you're a naturally right-footed player, but yet you were being asked to play in the left back, which ostensibly you need a left-footed player. But you said you did it for the greater good of the team, and sometimes maybe your own game has suffered as a result of that. I mean, that would have been hard to do, but it just, I think, shows what it takes to be a team player, doesn't it, Adam? Sometimes you have to just step outside your comfort zone to help the rest of the team.
Okay, I would agree with what you're saying. Fans and all probably agree with you too, that being a left footed or right footed left back, that sometimes it just didn't look right. But as long as I've done my defensive job against the wingers that I was up against, that's all I really cared about. That wasn't, I don't really cross the halfway line too much. As long as the defensive side is nailed on, I was happy enough, and I would just. Would play anywhere for the team as long as I'm playing, I'm happy enough.
That's the bottom line, isn't it?
Any
footballer, as long as you're playing. And then Johnny had mentioned as well, you know, playing that season along with Aaron Canning and stuff. And you've had quite a few different partners in the centre back, haven't you? When you sort of think about it, you know, there's been a few in there over the years.
There's been a long list of players, especially defensive players that have came and gone. There's been loads. Even to start naming a few, there was Trainer there. There's big David Ogilvie. There was Gareth McConaughey. There's a lot of big names there too. I enjoyed getting to know everyone and playing with them and all, and seeing their playing styles and just sort of trying to adapt to play with them as well.
And what would you say was your strengths in terms of centre back, Adam? Because you get different kinds of players and defenders. I mean, and I always look at you, and you're always a good reader of the game, and you can play a bit as well. And you never seem to be, you always look composed, if you know what I mean. Would that be fair to say that you're quite composed in centre back?
I would say I'm quite composed and like to get on the ball and then start the attacks from centre half as well. I don't like to get myself too flustered or get into fights with centre forwards or anything, because 9 times out of 10, I think Skinner played that day at Glenavon, my debut. I'm not going to win a fight against them. So I just try and be smart and try and nip in and get the ball and just give it to someone else to go and create something further up the pitch.
But I know there's not too many takes on Skinner and wins in a physical battle, is there?
Definitely not, no. So there isn't.
What about, I was just thinking there as well, your dad, Adam, what kind of influence has he had? Because for those that maybe don't know, your dad played a lot of years in, I think he captained Limavady for a lot of years, and I think he was centre back as well. And growing up, the amount of times that people used to say to me, "Oh, are you the boy that plays for Limavady?" And I'm going, no, that's another Damien Mullins. So I had to always say, no, it's not me, it's another Damian Mullen, and eventually got to know him. But for those that aren't aware, that's your dad, and he was a good player. And I'm just thinking, what kind of an influence has he been? Because he goes to all the games, Adam, and I guess when it comes to it, I mean, he's somebody that you can have a good chat to about whatever's going on in your footballing career.
Aye, well, my dad tells me he was a good player anyway, and so does other people. I was young at the time, so I don't really remember watching him too much. Like, but aye, my dad's had a massive influence on my career. Like, as Nielsen tell me, if I'm not doing it, I take his words, great advice. Like, so it is. Aye, he's been a huge influence on my career. From when he was playing, me and my twin brother, we would have been down at training and all the time. So just with a ball at our feet and whatnot. Like, but he's took me everywhere in the country, and he's been massive throughout my career. Like, so
it's good to have that as well, isn't it? Because being a footballer, I guess everybody's an expert, everybody's got an opinion and stuff, but when you have somebody like your father who's been there and done it, then that's an opinion that you can value, and you can listen to him and cut out all the noise elsewhere if need be.
Definitely. Like, listen, sometimes you won't agree with the opinion, but sometimes you just need to hear those hard words, and you need to get back to the drawing board and keep working hard again.
That's for you, isn't it? You know what I mean? You have to listen to them. I mean, Johnny, interesting what Adam's saying there about all the different centre backs, and when you think about it, there has been some, but it's probably credit to Adam that he's sort of not outlasted them all, but he's still here, and a few of the other ones maybe aren't so much, and I suppose that speaks volumes just of the kind of career that he has had up until this point.
Yeah, and he's probably taken bits and pieces of every one of them. I think Dougie, Owen always mentions how important Dougie was with the young lads going through, and then you would have big OG there as well, and the experience that he would have had, and obviously Snowy was a Rolls Royce at centre half, and you see the O'Donnell, Garth McConaughey as well. So yeah, we've had plenty of great centre halves down the years, and so no, yeah, I think if Adam was there, I'm sure Adam got a wee bit of learned a bit of, you know, from every one of them. So yeah, we've always been blessed. They have plenty of options on there, and just unfortunately he's injured this year along with Rodney. But you know, whenever them two get back fully fit, there'll be another two good additions to the squad.
Yeah, I was just going to say the fact, you know, you were mentioning centre backs, and I was just thinking it's just a pity they're all injured. Like between Adam and Rodney and Stevie O probably carrying and Nigelaire, we're down to the bare bones, but. That brings up your injury, Adam, and I'm sure probably a lot of supporters are wondering how you are, because we haven't obviously seen you. I think it was April of just the tail end of last season when you did pick up what turned out to be a very serious injury, and I was at that game that night. I think, Johnny, you were probably there as well, and you could tell almost straight away when the incident, the tackle happened, that it was a bad one. Adam, what's your memories of that night and the injury itself and how serious it was?
Not really. I don't really remember much what happened on the pitch, to be honest. Like, all I remember is going up for a header and then basically just coming down the heap. Like, and then I looked at my leg and then I knew it was serious. Like, so. No, it happens. Like, it is just part of football too. You just have to get on with it. Like, and everyone at Glentoran, you know, Corey and staff and all have well looked after me. Like, so I'm thankful for that. And then everyone in the Royal as well.
And for those who maybe aren't aware, I think, am I right in thinking that was a dislocated kneecap or split kneecap? I'm not sure. You can maybe tell us more if you want to.
Oh, it's just a fracture in the kneecap, literally just split in half. Like, it's a freak accident. Like, you don't normally hear of it happening, but once I got in the hospital, I was reassured. My surgeon came and spoke to me, and he goes, like, You never really hear these, but believe it or not, that I've done three of these this week. So it was weird hearing that, but it was reassuring at the same time, if you get me.
Mm. So,
and then I got surgery, and surgery's been a success. So now I'm just working hard, trying to get back fit as soon as possible.
And did you have, was it just the one operation that was required?
It's one operation now, so just got it, the fracture basically pinned, and yeah, it's healing well. So I'm hoping to get the final clear from the consultant to say that it's fully healed here. I think I'm up on Thursday, so I'm hoping it all goes well then.
And if he says, if he does give you the all clear, so to speak, and he says that it's healed to his satisfaction, what does that mean then? Does that mean then that you can return to some sort of training or light training, or what's the next step in the procedure?
Well, basically, he's just going to clear the fracture side of things. There's still a good bit to go after that. I've lost a lot of muscle in my leg from the fracture. Like, I had to keep my leg immobilized for 6 weeks. So obviously you're going to lose muscle then. So at everyone's head turned around the house, and probably a good time to shout out my wife, Catherine, and my mum and dad for all the support they've given to me throughout it. Like, I would have been lost without them, like, and all the friends and everyone at Corey in too as well. Like, they've really helped me throughout it as well. So now, come Thursday, I'm hoping that the fracture has completely healed. It was 90% there the last time I was up, so I'm just waiting to see what the surgeon has to say to me, and then I'll sit down with the physios, and then we'll just up my program. I'm been in the gym. I'm in a good place at the minute, Corey, because obviously Rodney's out injured as well, and Stevie O has a wee niggle as well, so we're all in. We have a wee rehab club there at the club, so we're all pushing each other on. And Josh was in it for a while, and he returned there against Limavady and then against Hamilton, so it's always good to see them going back out to the pitch, so we're pushing each other on.
I mean, that's as you said earlier, it's part of being a footballer, and it goes with the territory, doesn't it? Injuries at times, you know, but I guess it is a lonely enough place too, because by nature, you know, footballers all gregarious, like the company and the changing room and the banter, and that's part and parcel of the attraction of playing sport for anybody. And when you're not part of that and you're doing rehab maybe or training on your own, I'm guessing it can be difficult. But on the flip side of that, Adam, I guess, and we've talked to players before and times, it's character building too, and these are the things that you come back from and make you stronger as a person and as a footballer.
Oh, definitely. It has been tough both mentally and physically, like, but as you said, there it is, character building, and you will come back stronger from it. There's no point sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, because that'll get you nowhere. Like, so no, it's just one of them things. It's, no one likes to see anyone get injured, like, so, but as a footballer, it's going to happen more than likely. Like, so no, you just have to get up and bite the bullet and get on with it. Like.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Johnny, you'd be a very, very fortunate footballer indeed if you didn't have an injury, or even a serious injury in the length of a career of like Adam is having as well. But like, we've spoke to players in the past, and it is true, and Oren says it too, that players will come back stronger. I think that night at Linden's testimonial, that was brought up a couple of times as well. You know, having a serious injury and coming back, you come back hungrier as well as stronger.
100%, and I'm sure Adam's probably realised how much he's missed football since he's been out. And I think as well, there's never a good time to be injured, but I think if it's going to be near enough the end of the season, I'm sure if Adam was told he would be injured, he'd probably rather be in the end of last season than then, obviously, through pre-season. Hopefully he could be back, you know, for the start. I don't know when the time frame will be, but he'd probably rather come back towards the, you know, even Christmas time, wherever it may be, and be ready to go rather than being injured around Christmas time, if that makes sense. So, and just a question for Adam, I suppose, was it easier? Not easier, but I think as a fact, doing rehab and stuff at Showgrounds is a wee bit better than maybe having to do it at the uni, because obviously you're at the Showgrounds, there's a hub there, all the guys are there, you're they're never too far away, or would you, or is that even worse because you can go out and see them train?
No, I would say it's much easier doing it at the showgrounds. Like, everyone's there. When you're at the uni training, you're just up in the gym yourself. Or for now, me and Rodney would just be up, but then there's other people around there, so it's not the same banter or nothing. Like, and then you have players popping their head in the gym, seeing how you are, and just having crack with you all the time. So it's better, definitely better at the showgrounds. Like, just all in the one, like.
I mean, I know it's difficult, you don't know yourself, but is there likelihood of seeing you in the Korean shirt anytime this season, or is it too early to say that, Adam?
No, I would like to think you would see me in a Korean shirt definitely this season. So I'm not going to rush back too soon. I want to just make sure everything's right. Like, but no, I'll work hard and do my best to try and get back this season, and the likelihood is very high of seeing him in a Korean shirt this season.
What about Rodney? How's he getting on as well? Who's going to be back first, you or him?
I don't know yet at the moment. Like, he's at different stages than me as well. Like, we talk about it, like, but there's a few milestones that we both have to hit before we're back even running and all too. Like, so. And listen, there could be setbacks along the way too, you just never know. But no, it's we're not racing or anything to get back, or anything like that. We're just making sure we're both right, and as you said, come back stronger than what we were before, and just make sure that's not reoccurring.
And I guess, like most footballers, if not all footballers, you're not a good spectator, you're not good at watching teams play, are you?
No, it's difficult to watch, especially when you're injured. Like, you just wish you were out there playing, but no, it just happens, and there's not much you can do. Like,
it doesn't help when they're maybe not getting the results that you would like to think they would as well. That makes it harder to watch, doesn't it? Now you know what fans have to put up with every week.
I know, it's tough by watching them, especially at defeats, like, because. Most of the games this season, we've been well in the games as well. Like, it's just fine margins. Like, it's been frustrating, but I think we'll turn it around sooner rather than later, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I mean, it's been like inconsistent. Is it two wins, two draws, two losses? A lot of games, fine margins there, maybe conceding softish goals, maybe not taking chances, and the bases are there, Adam, and it's just fine tuning it and just trying to iron out the mistakes that are getting made at the moment.
I would agree with you. Some of the goals we're giving away is a bit soft, like, but that's not just down to the defenders either. It's collective. Like, sometimes we're being cut through, like, the wide areas or the middle for a few of the goals, but no, it's just collective. Like, we're just nearly working that. I'm sure Warren is working on it too. Like, and even tidy up our final pass at the in the final third, and just take our chances when they come along, because goals are massive in games too. Like, the momentum you get from them, or the momentum the other team gets from them as well. Like, so. No, I think it'll click sooner rather than later.
Goals are big, and Johnny, the first goal in games is very, very important, and maybe that's something that Korean have been struggling at this season, if I'm right in thinking that first goal in games is, obviously, if you get it, it gives you a position of strength, and if you concede first, you're sort of, you're struggling to get back in the game. I mean, that. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, like, I think, is it six league games I think we've played? I think we fall behind in 5-1. Another one was a draw. So, you know, and then obviously we fell behind on Saturday too. So, look, there's always so many times you can fall behind and win. And I think, you know, I think whenever we scored a first goal in a league game, we'll be pleasantly pleased. And yeah, like, it's so frustrating because it is just fine margins, as Adam said, you know, like, I'm sure Adam would agree with me. I don't think we played that badly on Saturday. If anything, we were just as good as they were. except they just showed their clinicalness in front of goal, ruthlessness. They were, you know, their number 11 was it Liam Smith or something. You know, if he'd have been on our team, he probably would have scored four on Saturday, and that was just the difference in the two teams. And so, yeah, look, I think if we can start, you know, you need to start taking it. And as well, and you said it there, he was there doing it 15 minutes ago. It's all well and good playing well, but you know, it's all about putting the ball in the back of the net, and it's just something we just have to get better at doing.
You're obviously still in the group, Adam. You're training and at the ground, and you speak to the lads in the team every week. What's the sense and the mood in amongst the squad as well? I guess it's maybe one of frustration because like all of us, we see them playing well, and we know that they probably could be getting better results. Is there a level of frustration amongst the players at the moment?
I would agree there's a level of frustration with everyone, but I would still say the mood's quite highly. So I think there's all good players in there. There's a good squad built up. So, yeah, I think there's still a good bit of belief in the changing room. Like we're never going to lose that. So we're not. We don't really get too low when we're low, or we try not to get too high when we're doing really well. Like so. No, as I said before, I think it's only a matter of time before we go on a good run here, and
but it is the nature of football and the football fan, isn't it? It's just like a couple of bad results and it's the end of the world. Like it's just
it's all doom and gloom from some parties. Like, but no, it's not like that at all with us. Like the morale's still quite high in there, so it is. And but to be honest, it always will be high. I fully believe in them turning it around, so I do. It's not to say that it's been disastrous, or that hasn't been the start that we wanted, like, but it hasn't been completely disastrous too. There's still been a good number of positives that we can tick, and once we get a few players back from injuries, then the only way is up, like.
But a consistency, I think Johnny's mentioned in the podcast in previous episodes, that sometimes Korean are now like a victim of their own success over the last couple of years, where they've been always at the top end of the table. They've been competing for trophies on a regular annual basis. And it's almost that, you know, you've made a rod for your own back as a group now, because people expect that every season. And when you do dip below that slightly even, then that's when people start criticizing, isn't it?
Ah, definitely. Yes, but we have quite high expectations ourselves. Like, and yeah, looking back some years ago when we were finishing second, all the we have set the bar high, but the league has changed massively too. There's no point denying that. Like the number of teams that have gone full time, the investment throughout the league from even the smaller teams, like they've all improved. So, the league has changed. We are probably the victim of our own downfall, but we want to still be up there, and we have a squad that should be up there as well. Like Orange recruited well over the last number of years, so I believe we should be up there too, and we'll do everything we can to get up there.
I'm just thinking you're probably the first player that we've had on the podcast really since the Friends of Korean back the proposal of the potential investment, and I'm just thinking, you know, from within the playing group, what is the reaction to that? Does it be talked about among the players in terms of what the potential investment might mean, or as players do you just concentrate on the football and let somebody else worry about the other side of things?
No, I would say we just focus on the playing side of things. Like there wasn't really a peep. There was whispers of it, like that's just online. Like I think one of the news articles released something that we're going to be taken over or something. But no, it was all just playing side. Like no one's really mentioned it now or since. Like we just everyone's just focused on the football side, and that's what they're there to do. They're there to to play for Korean and do their best for Korean. So that's all the players are really focused on.
I suppose, Johnny, I guess what Adam's saying, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because as players, as footballers, you're there and you're judged by what you do on the field. And really, what happens in the boardroom or behind the scenes really doesn't matter. It's about what happens on what you do on the pitch is what counts. And if you're not doing that on the pitch, then all the other stuff sort of doesn't really matter, if you know what I mean. It's all about performing on the pitch from a footballer's point of view.
The players can only control what they can do, and whatever Korean football club does off the pitch is, it's down to them. So, for example, Adam has to concentrate on the pitch. Colin McHenry has to concentrate on and off the pitch, and that's just everyone has their role at the football club. And look, it's hard to drown out noise of potential investment or whatever it was. Sure, everyone's only human at the end of the day, but the players are there to do a job, and I don't think the players, say after Saturday, would turn around and say, "Oh, we were distracted by investment round. They got there. They're just there to do a job." So, that's just it.
The standard, Adam, have you noticed a massive increase in the standard in the 10 years that you've been in the Irish League?
In the league, yeah, definitely. Everyone's just getting fitter, faster, and the games became a lot faster as well. Like, but in saying that, Korean have kept up with them, and the players were getting in as well. They're just weren't signing players that are going to come in and start. Like, he's not just signing any player that's going to make up the numbers or anything. Like, so yeah, it's definitely changed, but it's changed for the better. Like, which is good. It's what you want. You always want to improve, like, so yeah, I think the Irish League's in a good place at the moment, like.
I think it is, and the Irish League is a good place. Maybe the Northern Ireland international team, maybe not so. And I see David Healy didn't miss the target last night when he was talking about it anyway.
No, I didn't even see then, so I didn't. I watched a bit of the match, like, but no, I didn't really pay any attention to
No. But
what.
I think what's part of the gist, probably what he's saying, is that maybe that the Irish League is improving. It's echoes kind of what you're saying as well. But the national team and who's in charge of the national team, it hasn't really sort of replicated that. I mean, Johnny, you would sort of go follow Northern Ireland at different times and matches. I mean, it was interesting just on a tangent what David Healy came out with after the game.
Yeah, I think obviously, David Healy done a lot for Northern Ireland on the pitch, but I think probably what he said last night was probably his most ever penal impact. I think for some a statement they got, they come out from Northern Ireland's greatest ever goal scorer, will probably send alarm bells ringing. I think for Northern Ireland, they don't pick up any points against Kazakhstan. I think it's a bit surreal, but you also have to look at it in the other way. But how many Northern Ireland players are playing in the Premier League week in, week out? I don't think it was any. So, the talent from when Mike really first took over to what it is now. And, yes, like Shea Charles is a good player, Isaac Price is a good player, but, in 2 years' time, they're going to lose Stephen Davis, Craig Cathcart, Johnny Evans, Corey Evans, Stuart Dallas, potentially. We don't know what the issue is there. So, it might just not be pleasant. But I think, the charges at £50 or £60 to go and watch a friendly as well. I think the fans will. Right, like kicking up a stink, and for Northern Ireland, they have no football or no national training centres. A bit mad too, you have to think about it. Were they not 30th in the world about maybe 4 or 5 years ago? So, I think if you're asked if they kicked on since the Euros, the answer would be no. So, it's a bit concerning as well. But I think the injuries definitely haven't helped. But I think whenever most of your better players are coming through the eligibility route from England and Scotland rather than coming through Northern Ireland, I think. That's a major issue. And speaking of that, I just don't know how Brad Lyons, I know he's good friends with Adam, and I'm not being biased because he played for Korean, but I don't know why he didn't get a run out. That's the time now is they give guys, I guess, a go. And had a great start of the season with Kilmarnock, and I felt he might have been something different, and had been his first cap. It would have been a wee bit more to him, and I'm sure they ran three bricks and everyone did get playing. So yeah, I was a wee bit shocked. But again, you know, he could have, you know, had a slight knock, or you know, you just don't know things that, that have happened. So, but no, yeah, I'm sure Brad's team will definitely come.
Aye, Adam, you would love to have seen Brad get a wee run out, wouldn't you?
Definitely. I think he deserves a run out. So he does. Brad's probably one of the best pros I've played with. The work he puts in is phenomenal. Like, so yeah, it'd be buzzing for him if he got his cap at the end of the day. Like, I think it definitely will come at some point. Like,
I do think so, and I think at some point as well, it could be joined by another former Bandsider, PK, as well. I think, you know, we could have a future Northern Ireland midfield, two ex-Korean players in there, Brad and Patrick Kelly. What do you think, Adam? That work?
Definitely them two in the middle, and then big Sam McLennan at the back. Yeah, he played Korean youth as well. Like, so I think Sam already has a cap, but I think there's definitely more to come from him. And then Patrick, it's only a matter of time before he gets a cap. I think he's a fantastic player and a really likeable lad, and the three of them's really humble as well, like, so they deserve all the success they get, and I think their Northern Ireland caps aren't too far away. Well, Sam will add to his.
Mm-hmm. Fellow Lima Valley man, I think, Sam, isn't he?
He is. So, he's good big player, so he is, and sound fella, so.
But I think what is important, what you said there, Adam, they're all very grounded lads as well, aren't they? They're just, and they work hard at their game. They're very humble and they'll go a long way. They've got the right attitude in the game, haven't they?
I definitely agree with you. Like, them three lads, you wouldn't even think they're footballers when you pass them on the street. Like, they would talk to anyone and have a normal conversation with them. Like, so. They deserve to be where they're at. They've all worked extremely hard, like, so, and they'll get their success eventually.
I just hope the club's got plenty of clauses in those contracts. They make a pound or two. So, we'll go back to the Irish League. What's more pressing matters for us? And I'm just looking ahead, maybe to this weekend. This weekend's game, and Johnny home to Newry City on Saturday afternoon, but the game is just part of a big day of events that are planned at the Showgrounds. Am I right in saying?
You mean you're right. Yeah, I think there's a big bear day out, and there's music and food and question and answers and everything else going on. So I think it's, and then kids are allowed to go into the ground for a pound, and the music and everyone else. I think said that before, and also, no, yeah, I think it's going to be a big day. Hopefully the weather stays dry for us too, and I think it'll be a good chance for their families to get going and get into the bug, and I think we're selling Korean youths as well. It's a celebration for them and all the volunteers and everyone else who put a lot of work. I think there's 600 people involved with the youth section, so I think they're all getting a big crew at half time, so it'll be nice to get a bit of appreciation for everything they do too. So I think for a pound, if they get kids in and then everyone else, sure, that's for nothing. And here's hoping we can get a few more fans through the gate.
It's a good initiative, isn't it? And I think there's a food and drink thing going on, and there's a couple of bands that are playing as well, a bit of music and some food and drink, etc., for the more grown up ones, if you like. But as for the match itself, Newry City, you know, I believe Newry gave Glentoran quite a test on Saturday down at Newry. Glentoran led twice, Newry came back twice just before half time. They equalised to make it 2-2, and Glentoran got two early goals in the second half, which killed the game. But I think anybody that maybe is under the impression that Newry will be an easy game on Saturday, I suggest, Johnny, that they'd be badly wrong.
They beat Carrick away, and they've beat Glenavon away this year too. And so, no, yeah, it'll be, you know, we've played as a Ballymena and Loughgall, who are both maybe seen as bottom six sides. We just about scraped three wins there. We lost to Carrick and drew to Dungannon. So we find the bottom six teams very, very hard to beat this year. So again, I'm expecting this time round, there's probably maybe a wee bit of added pressure in Korean just because of they haven't won their last four or five league games. So, but yeah, look, I think, you know, if we can brush up defending and start taking chances, there's no reason why we can't win.
And Adam, from a player's point of view, you know, as Johnny said, they haven't won four or five games. A wee bit of pressure internally, externally, if you like. Newry City coming to showgrounds, most people will expect probably like a Korean, a home victory. I guess those are the games that as a playing group and as a management group that you have to be wary about, don't you? Because, you know, you're set up there. If you lose, it's a disaster. But if you win, you're expected to win. So those games can prove difficult.
Aye, definitely. Like I was saying, like the league's progressed there a lot. Like there is no easy games in the league now. So you basically just have to be honest all the time. And there is that probably fear of them lower teams coming too that you would down toes. But no, that's not the case. The boys will train well this week and they'll work on a few things. And then hopefully come Saturday, we just pick up our 3 points and move on. Listen, like, to be honest, the fans expect us to win every game, and us as players, like, we expect to win every game too, like, because we know on our day that we can beat anyone in the league, like, so, it should be a good game. I think when we played Newry last year, they gave us tough games, like, there wasn't any high scores in them, like, a goal or two either way, like, so, no, it'll be tough, but the boys will be up for it, like.
A crumb of comfort for Corian is that Newry have conceded four goals in each of their last three games, which is slightly worrying from a defensive point of view from Newry, isn't it, Adam?
It is a wee bit there, so it is. But yeah, hopefully a few boys just hit the back of the net and hopefully Chevy can score a few, so he does.
What would it mean and what would it do for confidence if Corey went out on Saturday and got a good win, say everything would clicked into place, maybe a clean sheet and maybe a couple of guys getting on the score sheet and winning well? What would that just do internally amongst the group in terms of confidence?
Oh, just winning in itself breeds confidence. Like, so once you get a few wins under your belt, the more confident you are, and just you're bouncing into the next week, the next match, like, so it's like getting that momentum as well. Like, I don't know, maybe a few injuries have hurt that this season as well. Like, no, once you get that one, you just bounce into the next match and then look to pick up your 3 points there and just trying to keep it going as long as possible.
Yeah, and it's important, I think, Johnny, because September as a month, Korean have got some very, very on paper difficult looking games against some of the top six teams.
Yeah, 100%. It's a difficult month, obviously, with Newry and is it Cliftonville Glens and the Crews or something like that. So, but yeah, look, all the games at this stage have been difficult. We haven't, we've only won two games out of six, so we're finding a lot of the games more difficult than others. So. Yeah, I think just getting back the winning ways would be ideal, you know, and give a bit of momentum, as you say, because I don't think we're playing that bad. It's just small margins, and I think that's nearly makes it more frustrating. You know, I don't think we played well against Linfield. I really don't, but I think we moved the ball well, but then I just think we were second nearly every ball, whereas on Saturday the only difference was. Because they just stuck a ball in the back of the net, and obviously that's what wins games and stuff like that. So I just think if we can tidy up our finishing and cut out silly goals, which is easier said than done, obviously. But it'd be worse if we were playing badly as well as doing that. So there's definitely reasons. I definitely thought on Saturday there's definitely reasons to be. Yes, I was disappointed to go out, but. I was more, you know, the Linfield game was probably a worse performance rather than Hamilton game.
And I guess, Adam, just finally, you know, the fine margins, as we're talking about, frustrating as it is, but we have to remember there's only six games gone, so it is still early days, isn't it?
I definitely. It's not a lot. Still plenty of time to turn it around. There's no time. Where did it turn it around? Like?
Well, there is, isn't there? I mean, that's the thing. It's there's a long way to go, and one or two wins, and all of a sudden, you know, you're right back in the mix, and confidence is high, and everybody's a little bit more confident again.
I definitely wouldn't say confidence is low at the moment. There is plenty of positives to take from the opening of the season. Like there's a few negatives to take as well, like, which will be worked on. Like, but it's not all doom and gloom, as I said there. We look forward to Saturday, like, and then hopefully pick up our 3 points.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Just finally, Johnny, what Adam's saying, it's not all doom and gloom. I know sometimes as supporters, everybody gets a little bit down and carried away when things don't go well. But it's important to think that if you go on Saturday and you get a positive result, things aren't so bad maybe. And because Adam's saying, confidence is still high among the group, but it just needs a win or two just to sort of really underline that, doesn't it?
100%, Damien, and you know, I think we always laugh, like, whenever say, I think last season they'll be going a 13-match unbeaten run, and I remember somebody asked them about being on a 12-match unbeaten run, and I was like, I don't really sort of care, I don't really count, you know, that sort of way. So, yes, obviously, I'm sure Rowan would rather see us winning than everyone else, but I'm sure Rowan's not looking at a thing, right, you were four or five games without a win. He just always thinks about the next game, and that's the way he's probably always been. So, yeah, I think, as I said earlier, I think if we were playing bad and making the mistakes, it would be far worse. So, you know, as well as this, you know, when Orrin made a good point to us on Saturday, I think apart from the first game of the season, I think it was the first time we had two fit centre halves at his disposal. You know, obviously, Adam and Ronnie's out, and Stadio's out, Kieran Farns out, there's four centre halves. And Darren Cole and Graham Kelly have also been struggling. So that's six centre halves at the club. And every single one of them has been injured for the first. You know, like, he couldn't write that. And, you know, centre half from Adam, well, he is a centre half, and everyone knows that football is so important, the position. You know, it's a spine of your team, really. And, you know, and then you're having to ask two fullbacks to play a centre half. You know, he hasn't had a settled back three or back four since the season started. And obviously, Marty played on Saturday as well. So it's just different. He just needs a solidified back four. And, you know, and obviously Chevy's been struggling too, and Josh has been struggling, Stephen Leary's been struggling. And I know Orrin's never used injuries as an excuse, but flip me. I've never seen a season where so many out so soon. So I just think if we can have a settled start at 11 for 2-3 weeks and really get moving on.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's that settled. If you look back, and Adam will tell you better than I or you, when Corian were doing at their pump a couple of years ago, they had a settled back four. Week in, week out, or back five, I should say, including the goalkeeper. Week in, week out, and that was the basis on the platform on which everything else was built, Adam, wasn't it? I mean, when you were going out there, a settled back five, that made life so much easier for everybody, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You just build relationships with your partner and then your fullbacks, and you just know how they play, and they're going to win their headers in their area, and then we'll win ours in the middle and all that there. So, you just need to get that settled back three or back five, whatever we're going to play, and just see how it goes then. Because, as Johnny says, we have had injuries defensively this year, which isn't ideal, like, so it isn't. But they'll come back, and then hopefully all our teams pick up wee niggly injuries and.
I was just thinking there, like, Dean Jarvis and Linden have also struggled as well, and they're our fullbacks. So if you're a defender and you're a Korean, you've either had a setback or you've been injured since the season started. I'm not even using it as an excuse. Obviously, they defend the players or whatever. It's just been absolutely crazy. By the way, I want to give a shout out just before I head, the young Sennan. Came on at half time on Saturday. Thought he'd done really, really well, to be fair to him. 16, 17, I mustered on against against grown men at centre park, and then went to left back, and he definitely done a better place. And as Warren Wright flamed after a full time hustle, it's good for players like that because it shows that there's a pathway, you know, into the first team. And I know Senan, I'm sure Adam's seen him at that training. I think he's a really good trainer by all accounts. He hasn't looked out of place even in training. So, no, fair play to him. 45 minutes he played on Saturday. And as Oren always says, and you can understand it too, 45 minutes playing in Isaac is probably worth about 5 or 6 games playing for the 20s. So, no, yeah, big shout out to him.
Is he the next one, Adam, that's got a good chance in the game?
I think so. Senan's a great wee player and a good wee fella as well. Like, he seems pretty grounded as well. Like, so, yeah, I do think he has a good future at Corian or maybe even beyond that. Who knows? Like, but yeah, I thought he'd done really well on Saturday as well.
it's a big ask, isn't it? As a 16-year-old coming in and playing. But then, Adam, you've been there and done it. You were 16, 17. You come into the first team, so you know what it's all about.
It is tough. It is tough to come into a change room for grown men, like, but listen, we try and welcome them as much as possible. And even when I broke in, they were all very welcoming. Like, so, it's tough. Like, but you have to do it. Like, if you want to play, you have to do it and make yourself part of the team. And Senan's done that. Like, and there's a few other lads that have been training as well. Like, so hopefully they can all progress and get themselves into the starting 11 more often.
Adam, before you go, your cup final tackle, would you replace it for scoring the winner, or would you rather have that tackle?
I don't know, probably just still have a tackle. Like, I'm not known for a goal scoring, so just take the tackle and move on.
So, do you know what? That tackle was as good as a goal.
Because you're on a booking as well.
I think I could book pretty early. I think me and Brad booked pretty early that day, and I don't know what just the ball was coming in. I just felt that I had to win it, or Donnelly was going to score. It was Rory, wasn't it? But no, I didn't really think much of it, and even during or after the game, until I think there was a Facebook video went up, and then I was like, and then everyone just kept saying to me about it. So, and then I thought that it was decent, like, but then that's what I'm there to do as well, like, so I just had to make it.
Still the greatest thing I've ever seen. I don't know how you done it. I swear I don't know how you done that, but I know.
Neither does Adam, for the sounds of it. But I mean, and sometimes in that situation, it's just like an instinct, isn't it? It's just a thing you've been brought up with, and it's just about timing, and you just commit to it and you do it.
I didn't really think about it at the time, and I didn't even think about my booking or nothing either. Like, I just knew I had to make it to the ball before Rory Donnelly got a touch on it. I think they would have went 2-1 up then too, so that would have been a huge momentum swing in that final. So no, I just felt like I had to make it, and even if it was a bit risky and for the penalty, I just felt like I had to do it, and thankfully it came off. And what? We won it then, the end of the day.
Would that still be one of the highlights of your career, Adam, that day?
Aye, definitely. Aye, Irish Cup Day. It's just a brilliant day, like, so it is. The Windsor just packed out, and it's brilliant bringing the trophy back down the road as well to the fans. Aye, it's definitely the highlight of my career, but then saying that the year before, it was probably one of the lowest points as well when we were beat by Linfield in it, but that was a good learning curve for it. Like, but it's right up there with the highlights of my Corian career.
And like you say, bringing the trophy back to Corian, because anybody was in the showgrounds that night of the Irish Cup final, and when you brought the trophy back into the showgrounds and onto the pitch and stuff, I mean, even when you see those scenes now, they still kind of bring an oil hair up in the back of your neck, don't they? I mean, those were incredible scenes, and I guess that's what you play for. That those are the highlights, aren't they, when you come back to a club and to supporters that you know, most of them, with a trophy. That's what dreams are made of.
Ah, it's fantastic. Like, so it is. Like, hopefully we can do that again in the near future. Like, it's brilliant. Like, as you said, like, you sort of know all the fans around Korean as well, like, and everyone gets chatting to you as well. So it's brilliant, especially for the lifelong fans that follow up and down the country each weekend. Like, it's brilliant. Just they bring something, bit of happiness back to them as well. Like.
And there are a good squad comes across from Limavady as well to watch games, isn't there?
I think there is the Limavady Bandsiders, so there is a good few of them. So there is there's ones from all over, like.
But like Limavady and Korean, like there's always been good Limavady players, even playing for Korean. There's been a long history of that as well, isn't there?
Definitely. Like I think when I made my debut, Paul Owens played in front of me. He was actually my coach growing up. As a kid, and he played in front of me. There was Garth Tomlins, there was Steve Leary, Ryan McMoyle all in that squad, Michael Doherty. So there's always been a good Limavady amount of players coming over, making their way over the mountain.
Very good, very good. Coming out a good club, you see. So, well, here, good luck with the rehab, however long it may take. You said that you'd like to be back sometime playing before the end of the season, yeah? That's the plan?
I'd like to think I'll definitely be back at some point this season. I don't want to put a time frame on it.
No.
I just want to see. I want to hit a few milestones first, and then we can start putting a time frame on it then.
And as you say, you don't want to rush back either, because you don't want to come back, break down, and then have to face the whole thing again. So you just take your time. You and Rodney, just take your time. Like Darby and Jones, just take your time. You'll get there eventually. But here, Adam, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Not a problem. Say hello to your dad.
Will do, hey.
Good name. Johnny, anything you want to say before Adam goes?
No, I'm being well behaved. If Catherine was there, there'd have been a wee bit of old firm banter. But I think after a couple of weekends ago, I've been hiding from her, so I haven't seen her yet. So
you've been quiet, so you have been.
I've been quiet, so I've been hiding from Catherine, but I'm sure she'll make up for lost time. So
she will definitely.
I'm sure you'll pipe up again soon enough, Johnny. If your club gets a result every so often, you'll be piping up again, I'm sure, won't you?
If all of them win at the weekend, I'm happy at this rate for flip saving. So international break came at a good time.
It did give you a week off there. Well, here, gents, thank you very much for your time. Pleasure to talk to you, Adam. Good luck with your recovery and your rehab. Johnny, we will see you on Saturday. Adam, you'll be there on Saturday as well, will you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I go to most of the matches, so do you.
Yeah. That'll do. Right, well, we will see you then. Good luck to Oran and the players on Saturday. Hopefully we have a few back, maybe from injury. Hopefully we get a good 3 points, get the campaign back on to a winning way again, and ahead of a busy month of September. So don't forget the Bear Day Out on Saturday. So if you're looking for something to do, come along to the showgrounds and have a good day out. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Thank you to the Lodge Hotel for sponsoring the podcast. And until we speak again next week, come on the Bandsiders.